much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
It is a message from hell. Trust me. Things are about to get very, very bad.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Whack it to back it. It made me feel so good. Whack it to back it. Just like you said it would.
But I have a joke for you.
Okay.
What the hot dog said to the hamburger?
What?
I hold more toppings than you do. And the pizza was walking by. Listen up. He says, hey, I do.
That's so crazy.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Attention, radio listeners.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
What about the butt?
Roll another one.
You're killing me, Larry.
Just like the other one.
So fresh.
This one seems to be about to quit.
I like you. You're pretty.
And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
How you doing, Juicy?
Roll. Roll another one.
Arabian goggles.
Just like the other one.
Why? I find that hard to believe.
This one seems to be about.
I'm extremely hairy.
I don't have another cent.
Being from Tennessee, are you as big of a fan of Paramore as I am?
But the one guard that joins.
Hey, man, and hey.
Just pass it around.
I'm a lead farmer.
But the one guard that joins, my friend.
This is how we do.
And now,
this is getting kind of weird. What is it with you guys?
Our feature presentation.
I can't definitively say, but thank you for tuning in to another all-new Kevin and Bean show this time. Finally, actually, for reals, for a Friday morning.
Yay! Not be happier.
Well, Lisa's going to be worthless today. She's on vacation
I'm
at 10 o'clock.
I'm on vacation
so.
Now. It took my first Uber ride to work this morning.
Congratulations.
It was so fun. Simon was awesome. He was there so fast, I left all my jewelry on my counter.
Now, are you already jumping into commercials? What's happening here?
No.
Are you already reading sponsor
copy? No, I'm not at all. I never used it. Everybody here has. And I was kind of nervous about it. Like, I mean, I'm technically inefficient.
Mm-hmm.
And but it all worked perfectly, and
because Uber's the best thing ever,
it is.
That's
it
why
is. It was awesome. So yay!
Well, congratulations!
Thank you,
Muggs. How are you?
I am glad it is Friday.
Certainly, yeah.
Holy mackerel! People don't see what goes on behind the scenes here. You know, to get to start the show, but I was running around, slamming my head into walls.
He started crying. I started crying.
Yeah. I started whimpering like a little boy.
Yeah.
Good thing Omar and Chip were there to help me out because, holy.
Well, we all know you have the hardest job in America.
Well, not really, but I mean, to get you on
the air. Oh, really? Because it sounds like it, way you're talking.
To get
it
you on the air.
It was this morning.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, this morning it was.
All right. Well, we're here.
Thank God.
And we're going to do a show.
Don't drop, okay?
And I got something very exciting to get us started with here today, because you know how I always go to Dr. Drew and I always try to get his approval for me to try all the drugs, right?
Right.
I tell him I want to try meth or I want to try speed or I want to try heroin or whatever it is. I've got a new one to talk to Dr. Drew about when we talk to him on Thursday. This apparently has made its way over from Russia. It's become very popular in the last 2 or 3 years in Russia. It has now been spotted in the United States. They've had 2 cases so far of people using a drug called Crocodile. Now, that's with a K. Have you guys heard about Crocodile?
No.
Darn, I have not.
It is a homemade opiate. Now, the draw of Crocodile, the reason, because I'm a thrifty guy, the reason I think this may be the time for me, is that apparently it is very similar to the high that you get from heroin, except it's only a third as expensive.
So it's a bargain basement opiate.
Yes.
Love it.
Let's see what's in it here. It's an over, you put, take some over-the-counter codeine-based headache pills.
Okay, done.
You mix that with some iodine.
Got it.
Throw in a little gasoline.
Sure.
Then there's some paint thinner.
Really?
And some alcohol. And then you inject that, and you get, well, you almost literally get a cheap high and a quick death because it destroys your skin from the inside of your body.
Oh,
it turns your skin scaly and green like a crocodile. Other side effects include festering sores, abscesses, and blood poisoning.
Good times.
The average life expectancy among crocodile addicts in Russia is, what would you guess?
I don't know. A week?
2 years.
2 whole years you can go
years.
Like that?
It's called by Time Magazine the most horrible drug in the world. Gangrene and amputations are common. And the toxic mix dissolves jawbones and teeth.
Well, so you're injecting paint thinner.
Yes, you are.
God.
So we're getting into Walter White territory here, right? As with all intravenous drug addicts, crocodile users are also susceptible to HIV. So check. Hepatitis C, check. Other bloodborne diseases, and they have compromised immune systems. They interviewed one recovering Russian-style crocodile addict, a woman named Irina Pavlova. She said that she injected the drug daily for almost 6 years.
Wow.
She now has a speech impediment and impaired motor skills because of the resulting brain damage. Most of her friends who were using crocodile are dead now. For some, it led to pneumonia. Others got blood poisoning. One had an artery burst in her heart. Some got meningitis. Others simply rotted out.
That must have been a moment of party.
Like
it was
a
like
of,
a wow. moment of party. Yeah, I mean, it's in the name. You're going to look like a crocodile.
That's it. Maybe that's, I guess that's why they call it that. Yeah.
Why would anyone choose that?
Now, that's the real question, right? And they have, if you do a Google search for crocodile with a K,
yeah,
you will see a news report from Arizona where they show photos. And it looks like the pictures we've seen of the flesh-eating bacteria, where you're, it's like a marinated chicken on your stove where it's so juicy and tender that the skin has just fallen off the bone. That's what the people look like.
Oh, my God. I got to find this.
So,
I'm look
in.
For this.
Who else is in?
You might be on your own.
You know what? I got nothing this weekend.
At least you're going to do it.
Let's okay? give it a spin.
Muggs, you're going to pass?
Yeah, I think.
You're a pussy.
Yeah.
You're a pussy.
Wow.
All right, let's talk about today's all-new Kevin DeBee show, shall we?
It has no appeal. It's dead on arrival.
Ah, you haven't heard about it yet. The greatest Between Two Ferns episode ever with the great Zach Galifianakis. This time, his victim, Justin Bieber.
That's saying a lot because they're all great.
They're all great. But this one is Zach 1000, the Biebs 0.
Can't wait.
We'll play some of that for you. Simon Baker on the show from one of America's top shows, The Mentalist. He'll be joining us.
Mm-hmm.
He's the one, by the way, that crazy fan drove her car into the set trying to meet him, remember?
Oh, that's right.
So we got to find out what that was like from his perspective. How about the great Jimmy Kimmel on the program today? He's calling in to talk about the Feast of San Gennaro, which is going on this weekend down by his studio in Hollywood. But the timing couldn't be any better as a result of the Kanye West-Jimmy Kimmel rap feud that is now electrifying the nation.
Okay, I don't know anything about this.
It's one of the craziest things you'll ever hear, Lisa. Kanye is crazy, as you know. And unless this is Jimmy who's punking us again, like he did with the twerk girl, this looks like it's for real, and it's hilarious. Can't wait to talk to Jimmy about the phone call he got in his office yesterday, about an hour before he went on the air, from a Kanye West who is screaming at him.
Oh, my God. Seriously.
Yes.
This is the best ever.
And Jimmy's real-life cousin, Sal, is going to be joining us on the program today. He's got his Week 4 NFL picks for you. All of that, plus tons of good stuff to give away, including Depeche Mode tickets. We'll tell you about that. Got tickets for the K-Rock Day at Santa Anita on the way. We got Machete Kills tickets, so much more. Plus, Ralph Garman and the Showbiz Beat. That's next on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey.
Well done.
Okay. Well, I think
firing.
So.
Taylor Hawkins from Foo Fighters joins us right after the top of the hour to talk about a very cool event that he is doing tomorrow night that you can go see him as he rocks out for charity. That's on the way right now, Friday morning. Time for our first look at the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
Always wanted to hear Stephen Wright say, hey. It was very nice. Being here to say, hey. What a day in showbiz news do I have for you. I've got pages and pages of stuff here.
Really?
Yes.
starting with the shocking, shocking news that Kaley Cuoco, just 2 months after splitting up with her boyfriend, Man of Steel Henry Cavill, is engaged to be married.
To whom?
To a brand new dude she just met.
Hmm.
What's
his
he
name
got
is
going
Ryan
on, Ralph?
Sweeting. He's handsome. He is rich. He is 6'5" tall and a professional tennis player.
Nice.
It's only been 3 months since they met, but her representative tells Us Weekly magazine she knows Ryan is the one.
Hmm.
Ryan reportedly proposed on Wednesday, just a couple of days after they made their red carpet debut at a pre-Emmys party, and then they were seen together at the Emmy Awards as well. First marriage for both of them. He's 26, she's 27. 3 months! Boom.
Yeah.
Engaged.
I wonder if there's there must be some data on the success, the long-term success of marriages from people who get engaged and married so quickly versus people who date the traditional, you know, 2 or 3 years first.
I have no data on this whatsoever, but my gut tells me it's probably like 50-50.
That's probably what I think.
It's probably just as much success or failure as people who know each other for 5 years as people who know each other for five months.
It's a giant roll of the dice.
It really is.
No matter what.
I don't get the sense that anything prepares you for marriage any more than
Yeah, because you make it up as you go along.
Right.
The stats on people living together are no better than people who didn't.
Yeah, exactly.
So that proves something.
And there's history that shows that arranged marriages in cultures that still have that as a tradition are as successful as people have known each other before they get married.
That's fascinating. You don't even pick your spouse, and the success rate is the same as if you do. That's interesting.
Just goes to show you, it's just madness. marriage is just madness. It's just... Just organized chaos. It's all this madness. You need more proof besides Bean that people diagnosed with autism can go on to lead happy, productive lives?
Yes, I do.
Well, how about Daryl Hannah, Lisa?
Really? She's...
Yes.
Oh.
She tells People magazine that she was diagnosed as a child as autistic. She suffered from debilitating shyness, hated any sort of attention, and when she became an actress, couldn't even do interviews because of pure terror.
And yet became an actress.
What an odd choice for someone who suffers with that
to
get into that business. I can't imagine.
Well, she was sensitive to being teased about being a mermaid, too, as a young person. I mean, I would imagine that
way back. way back.
We're talking about Daryl Hannah.
Melissa Joan Hart, America's sweetheart. You remember her as Sabrina the Teenage Witch? Well, maybe she wasn't so sweet, Lisa May.
Really?
She tells Life and Style magazine that in her heyday as the Teenage Witch, she experimented with weed, ecstasy, mushrooms, and mescaline.
Wow.
That must have been a moment of party.
It was. She had many wild nights, she said, including one that kicked off at a Playboy Mansion party where she ended up with a girl... Then ended up with that girl in a limo making out the entire way to that girl's Maxim photo shoot the next morning.
Wow.
Sobered up and found herself at a Maxim photo shoot for some other girl that she had been with all night. You can find out more details in her upcoming book, Melissa Explains It All. Because she had that Clarissa show.
Sure, yeah.
Out on October the 29th. You can pick that up. So see how dirty she was. Dirty, dirty girl. That's why it makes me happy to look at all these Disney kids and Nickelodeon kids, and you just hope behind the scenes they're just being all kind of perverse and
mostly they are.
Kinky weirdness going on. Be good stuff.
I keep waiting for the Brenda Song sex tape to come out any day now.
Yeah, me too. I told you, I guess it was last week, we were talking early Halloween talk about costumes, popular costumes for the folks this year. And I think you were on vacation, Beam, when we were talking about this, but I told you that it was the Duck Dynasty gang that was the number one most popular adult costume this year.
Okay.
Easy to do, right? Camos,
beard,
bandana, easy fix, and of course wildly popular, that TV show. Well, that was then. This is now. Apparently, someone has just ruined Halloween for all of us this year. Any guesses as to what the new most popular Halloween costume
Farrah Abramson?
Not Farrah Abramson.
Justin Bieber?
Not the Biebs, Lisa, but you're thinking the right vein.
Kardashian-ish?
No.
Hmm. Who else do we despise?
Especially, this is a big couple's costume. I'll give you that hint. For men and women going together in a theme.
Could it be Robin Thicke and Miley Cyrus?
Well done, Bean. Well done.
Really?
Indeed, that is... the number one hit Halloween costume for this season, say, online and also brick-and-mortar retailers for Halloween costumes.
That's kind of, I mean, I that would be a good costume. I think that would be, I can get that.
Amazon.com is featuring a Robin Thicke costume online as we speak that is basically their repackaged Beetlejuice costume. I kid you not.
Of course.
There is a Miley costume available that includes the now famous foam finger that she used to mentally scar the world during her duet with Robin Thicke. And they're selling the T-shirt with the teddy bear bustier thing on the front. And you can buy the whole outfit. So,
what do you think of that look with the little her little hair with the devil's horns on the top of her head? I think it's cute.
Oh, Jesus. She's hideous on every level. What's wrong with you?
Stop it. No!
Amazon, I guess, is the only thing not available for purchase from the Miley suit is the giant llama teeth. So you're going to have to get those from your dentist or your local novelty store. Today's celebrity birthdays, the loaf, meat.
Yay! Got to get some meatloaf on here today, Ralph.
Celebrates his 66th birthday today. Yeah, we can do it because Kevin's not around. We can actually play some meatloaf.
He's the one who always poo-poos Paradise by the Dashboard Light. That's today right. We're playing it, damn it.
We can play it in its entirety.
And
we
twice.
We can all go out and get a sandwich. Stephen Jenkins of Third Eye Blind is 49 years old today. Actor Patrick Muldoon celebrates his 45th birthday. Gwyneth Paltrow is 41. Hopefully she won't run her kid into a bus on her Vespa this morning to celebrate. Carrie Brownstein from Portlandia. Very talented actress and singer. She is 39 years old. Lil Wayne celebrates his 31st birthday. And singer Avril Lavigne celebrates 29 today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Who's funnier than Zach Galifianakis, Ralph? Seriously.
Me.
Really?
Yeah.
That's okay, funny.
Besides you, then, Zach Galifianakis, funniest guy going. Wait till you hear his new Between Two Ferns with Justin Bieber. We got highlights for you coming up in about 10 minutes. First, though, it is Friday on the Kevin and Bean Show. Thanks for tuning in. It's time for the Movie Beat.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat.
Welcome to my world.
If you are a music fan, this is a big movie weekend for you. A couple movies in Cineplexes throughout the Southland this weekend that will appeal to hardcore music fans. Starting with a documentary. You may have heard of Motown when it comes to cities that are famous for their music. Detroit, of course. Memphis. Nashville. Mm-hmm. Los Angeles.
Sure.
How about Muscle Shoals?
Absolutely.
Well, for you, because you're a big geek. But the average person may not know about Muscle Shoals. There was a studio in Muscle Shoals, Alabama called the Fame Studios. This documentary called Muscle Shoals talks about Rick Hall, the founder of Fame Studios. Talks about their legendary house band known as the Swampers. You may have heard about all this in Lynyrd Skynyrd's song, Sweet Home Alabama. He developed a signature sound that you can find in such songs as Brown Sugar, When a Man Loves a Woman, I'll Take You There. Fascinating documentary with an interesting cast, including Aretha Franklin, Keith Richards, Rick Hall himself. If you want to check it out, it's in limited release this weekend. Here's some clips from the trailer of the documentary, Muscle Shoals.
What is it about Muscle Shoals? It's just a little village on the Alabama border. Why does that music come out of there?
Each time a person went to Muscle Shoals, they came out of there with a hit.
Being there does inspire you to do it differently.
You're going to hear some of the greatest voices.
There are certain places where there is a field of energy.
Yeah, Mick liked it. Mick. Jack.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can do it differently. You can hear his lips when he talks.
So this is Sound City before there was Sound City. That's what this is.
Boom. There you go. Nutshell, you. Metallica, speaking of music, their new giant IMAX exclusive film, Metallica Through the Never, opens up today. James Hetfield, of course, Lars Ulrich. A young roadie for Metallica named Trip is sent on an urgent mission during the band's show, but what seems like a simple assignment turns into a surreal adventure. Think of this as a magical mystery tour for Metallica. Here are some clips from the trailer of Metallica Through the Never.
My whole life I've been waiting for that moment when it all starts to make sense.
We got a truck that's out of gas in the city, you gotta find it, and we got something the band needs tonight, okay? So get him back and you know what to do.
Another night, another show. I do what they tell me.
I go where they send me.
But sometimes the moment that changes everything is the one you never see coming.
I'm on acid. In mainstream film, some of your bigger releases this weekend, Don John opens up this weekend, directed by Joseph Gordon-Levitt, starring Jogo Lev. Scarlett Johansson also co-stars with him. Julianne Moore, Tony Danza plays Joseph Gordon-Levitt's father in this film. He's a typical New Jersey Italian guy dedicated to his family and his friends, but maybe has some unrealistic expectations when it comes to finding happiness and intimacy with women, perhaps from his porn addiction, perhaps from his cavalier Don Juan kind of ways. Don John, Don Juan. Are you getting any of this?
Kind
of. Any of this getting through to you?
Yeah.
Here's a scene where Joseph Gordon-Levitt is talking to Scarlett Johansson, his girlfriend, about, of all things, Swiffer pads.
You're on a Swiffer?
What is that?
Seriously?
No.
I bet it's the best. You got to try it. What do you do for your floors? You got those nice floors in your place. What do you, mop?
I don't know. The housekeeper does it.
Oh, right. Yeah. Listen, I'll just be a second, okay?
You're not going to go buy a mop right now. It's embarrassing, okay?
Oh, babe, I told you. It's not a mop. It's these pads.
I don't care. You shouldn't be doing your own housework anyway.
Why not?
Because you're a grown man.
I like doing it myself.
What, are you kidding me? Come on, you don't got to be doing that.
Nah, babe, she won't do it right anyway. You got to vacuum my carpet a certain way or else it looks
Don't talk about vacuuming in front of me. Come on.
Why? What's wrong?
Why? Because it's not sexy, that's why. Oh, my God.
Jogo Lev! Jogo Lev!
He heard me.
No, he didn't. Beer mug.
Jogo Lev directed this too, right?
I said that
you
at the beginning
that,
of the
yes.
review. I mentioned that he was the director. Yes.
So he's the director.
Would you stick around? Put your headphones on. Stick around just for the rest of the segment, would you please? And then we'll
go to Scarlett Johansson in this as well.
Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs 2 opens up this weekend. This is what industry insiders are picking will be the number one film of the weekend because it was such a huge hit. They came back and did a second installment. Bill Hader returns, as does Anna Faris, and Will Forte joins the cast. Neil Patrick Harris is in this. Flint Lockwood now works at the Live Corp. company. It's run by his idol, inventor Chester V, but he's forced to leave that when he finds out that his famous food machine is still operational, but now it's churning up menacing food animal hybrids.
Like that sounds terrifying.
Like the taco dials. They're crocodiles, but they're made out of tacos. Fun for kids of all ages. Here's a scene where Flint and Sam, played by Anna Faris, are recruiting their friends because they have to go back to their hometown and take on these foodimals.
I'd like to order something strong.
Wait your turn, fancy pants. Flint Lockwood and Sam Sparks. And Steve, too.
Where's he?
Earl, we need your help.
Swallow Falls is overrun with deadly food monsters.
Hey, where's my coffee?
Coffee? I'm not a barista. I'm a polista.
There's Terry Crews as Officer Earl, the originally played by Mr. T in the first one. But Terry Crews has taken over that role. I had a chance to present this film at Comic-Con in July, and I saw a bunch of footage, and it looks really entertaining. If you've got kids of a certain age, you'll really enjoy taking them to this film, so you may want to check it out this weekend. Those are your choices. I'm Ralph Garman, and I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman's Movie Beat.
All this week on the Kevin and Bean Show, we have made you endure some horrible things to try to win tickets for Depeche Mode at Staples Center this weekend, plus the backstage meet and greet. Today, that's not going to be the case. We're going to make it easy. All we want you to do is be caller 106.7 when you hear any Depeche Mode song on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show. It's pretty simple, right?
That's real easy. I love it.
You don't have to listen to Omar sing. You don't have to endure Beer Mug's mistakes as he tries to make it impossible for you to win a game. So when you hear Depeche Mode, and one will play between now and 9 a.m., just pick up the phone and give us a call and win tickets and a backstage meet and greet with Depeche Mode, the legends themselves. That's coming up this morning on The Kevin and Bean Show. Zach Galifianakis, I think, may be the funniest guy in the world.
He's great.
He's my favorite host on Saturday Night Live. I love him, of course, in the Hangover movies and pretty much everything else he does. But as far as I'm concerned, his crown jewel is the internet talk show he does called Between Two Ferns. And he's fearless, although he didn't have too much trouble taking down Justin Bieber. Justin did not have much to come back with him at, but he was the latest victim. Let's hear a little bit of that, shall we?
Hi, welcome to another edition of Between Two Ferns. My name is Zach Galifianakis. My guest today is Justin Bieber. Thank you, Justin, for being on. It's really exciting to talk to you, especially right in the middle of your public meltdown.
Now, what I love in this interview is that Zach is saying all the things to Justin that we've been saying about him and that you wish somebody would say to him.
Yes.
And he just sits there. He's got nothing. He's got nothing to come back with, but he does try.
Gonna say anything?
Yeah. I just have never interviewed a 7-year-old before, so. What was the last toy you got in a Happy Meal?
I don't think I've ever ordered a Happy Meal.
Yeah, me either. I don't like that junk.
Are you sure?
Now, I think Justin is trying to make fun of Zach as if, are you sure? Because he's fat. I don't think Zach's going to take that very well.
You know what I was doing when I was your age?
Finishing fourth grade?
Uh-oh. It's on now.
Your young punk attitude is not going to work in this interview. You understand me, son? Okay. When you're in the recording studio, do you ever think, hey, what if I don't make something shitty? Does that pop into your mind in the process?
The fact that I'm able to make music and inspire people, I feel like music is like a sixth sense.
It's like that movie? You've had 3 hairstyles. What's next for your career?
So you think that my hairstyles are the only thing that's happened in my career?
You affectionately refer to your fans as beaners.
No, believers.
Yeah, that makes more sense. You got caught on tape peeing into a bucket. Here's the thing. There hasn't been a time in the last 6-7 years that I haven't urinated in a bucket. But I don't film it and put it on internets. You know what? I don't like your attitude, to be quite honest.
You're mad.
Because, you know what? You're too young to be smoking pot and, you know, pee-peeing in buckets and driving up and down the highway fast. I don't think your mom would really mind if a stranger whipped her son.
You're spanking me, man. What are you doing? What are you doing?
Woo!
Finally, Bieber gets whipped with a belt by Zach Galifianakis on Between Two Ferns. What was that like for poor little Justin? Just sitting there, just taking it like a bitch. Justin, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend. How are you?
What's with all the questions, bro?
Yeah, I just asked how you were, that's all.
I'm swag, eh?
Well, you're not swag, I have to tell you. I don't know what your intention was when you went on Between Two Ferns, but you did not end up looking very good, son.
Yeah, that fat guy with the beard, he was asking me all kinds of questions, eh?
Right.
I should have taken him out, man.
How are you going to do that?
I'd beat him up with my Muay Thai.
So he asked why your music is so crappy and why you're such an a-hole and why you're so badly behaved. And boy, he was just piling it on, wasn't he?
I didn't like his questions, eh? I don't know why he was all coming at me, bro, but mm-hmm. I don't even know who this guy is. What's he like a newsman or something?
He's Zach Galifianakis. He's the actor and the comedian.
So what? He's like, what has he been like in a TV show?
Well, he was the star of the Hangover movies, if you saw any of those films.
No, man, I don't watch Hangovers. I get Hangovers, eh?
Oh, that's funny.
Boom!
Ow! So, yeah. when he took off his belt and just started wailing on you, you must have just been thinking, what the heck's going on here?
Well, when he unbuckled his belt, I figured, okay, here we go again. You know, a large hairy man unbuckles his belt. I know what that usually means for me, right? Eh? Like, what's coming next? That's how I got into the music business. I'm no fool.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So, in a way, it kind of worked out better for you than you expected.
Yeah, it was a relief, eh? I thought, oh, geez, another bear. Oh, I'm going to I'll be going, spitting hair out again. But, no, he just wanted to beat me, so I was like, oh, that's swag, eh?
Why did you agree to go on the show? It seems like you generally kind of manage your interview situation so that you just get friendly questions.
I didn't know, eh? Like they said, you want to go do Between Two Ferns? And I said, is it popular? And they said, yeah, it's like all everybody watches it on the internet. So mm-hmm. I like said, okay, you know, believers like the internet. So I thought I'd go there. I didn't know that big hairy guy would be mean to me, eh?
Yeah.
So I got to talk to Scooter about that and see where things went wrong.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you were just outmatched. He just is, you know, just funnier than you. And he was able to just to your face say all the things that everybody else has been. I mean, that's how people think about you. The questions he was asking are the things everybody wants to say to you, Justin.
Yeah, but that's on camera, eh? Like off camera. He's all like, oh, I love you so much. I'm a believer and you're the best. And would you like a llama? So he gave me a llama.
He did.
You have a llama now?
Yeah, now I have a llama, eh? It's awesome. It's much better than that monkey I left in Germany.
Well, that's what I'm afraid where this llama might end up, actually, to tell you the truth.
Oh, the llama's unbuckling its belt.
Oh, I gotta go.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
And now, a moment with Bean.
Remember when Metallica headlined the Weenie Roast? You remember that beer mug a few years ago?
They put on an awesome show.
No, they never fail to disappoint. It's unbelievable.
That was A Moment with Bean.
One thing about Metallica, they never fail to disappoint.
Hey, that good-looking Simon Baker, he's the mentalist, don't you know?
He's dreamy.
He joins us coming up after the top of the hour here on K-Rock. Don't forget, you're still listening for a Depeche Mode song. Just be caller 106.7 when you hear one to win tickets to see them this weekend and a backstage meet-and-greet. Speaking of giveaways, Ralph, what do you got for us?
Well, tomorrow's the big day. K-Rock Microbrew and Party in the infield at Santa Anita.
Yeah!
Lots of people are going to be there from K-Rock. Dave, Lightning, Nicole, Cat, Stryker.
Wow. Wow.
Omar, Super Steve. Just added, Sam the Armenian Comedian will be there. At the
Ralph.
Microbrew Fest.
No. That's not for public consumption.
Oh.
Do not mention that.
I'm trying
to get people to come to the thing, remember?
It's going to be a great event there at the infield at Santa Anita Racetrack in the beautiful Arcadia, California. 40 different craft brews to choose from, 20 food trucks, live music from Shiny Toy Guns and Lose Control. You can play the ponies while you're partying. It's just a great day. Gates open at 11 a.m. The first race is at 1. Admission's only $5, and if you bring a college ID, if you're a college student, you get in for free.
Nice.
I'm all excited, brothers.
Sam will be there. Here's the thing. They're going to be giving away stuff while we're there, too, so you can get Depeche Mode tickets. Made me think of it because you were bringing up Depeche Mode. Jimmy Eat World tickets, Passion Pit tickets, Paramore tickets. Oh, I wonder who'll be giving away Paramore tickets. Lots of great stuff. So if you'd like to go, it's tomorrow, 11 a.m., $5 to get in. I'm going to give you a little incentive. How would you like to bring three friends for nothing? And then on top of it, get $106.70 to play the ponies with. Get free money to bet with. Call right now, 1-800-520-1067. That's the number to call. First two callers through at that phone number will get a four-pack of tickets plus the cash to bet on the horses with. All thanks to your folks here at K-Rock in Santa Anita.
The hour is coming.
Yes, it's tomorrow, so the hour is coming. Lamar Odom's a busy boy these days. Multiple sources telling TMZ.com that he's hanging out with two young women at a home about 100 miles outside of Los Angeles where they just smoke crack 24 hours a day and listen to rap music.
Really?
Oh, wow.
That is a busy day. You have no idea how it takes it out of you when you just have to be up for 24 hours smoking crack listening to rap.
Didn't you guys kind of feel that somebody as high profile as Lamar Odom would have surfaced and come back to us by now?
Yeah.
Definitely.
He is cracks.
He's gone
bitch.
Bye-bye.
He's cracks bitch right now. Word is that the threesome is keeping his personal driver very busy. He's constantly commuting back and forth from the place out in the desert to Los Angeles to score drugs because Lamar is paranoid about getting caught, so he insists on buying small quantities of crack. And so his poor driver just has to go on crack runs all the time, just back and forth. Crack, 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 crack. It's exhausting. Poor guy. Meanwhile, In Touch magazine claims Khloe Kardashian's given up on her husband and is now looking into starting adoption proceedings as a single mom. This family just keeps making good decisions. They never stop. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
And no surprise here, HBO is renewing their hit Boardwalk Empire for a fifth season. They announced the renewal yesterday following last Sunday's Emmy Awards, in which Bobby Cannavale picked up a Best Supporting Actor for that drama series. The show itself picked up 5 Emmys, so congratulations. And while we're talking about cable dramas that people love, Homeland premieres this weekend on Showtime. If you miss season 2, don't despair. Showtime is planning a marathon of season 2 back-to-back episodes beginning at noon on Saturday and Sunday.
and then heading straight into the season premiere Sunday night. So you can catch up on season two if you're behind. It's just that easy.
That's a lot of death, destruction, blood.
A lot of praying to Allah. A lot of that. Today's celebrity birthday is singer Avril Lavigne's 29 years old today. Our own associate producer, Christine. Christine celebrates her birthday today.
How about that?
She is 12, I want to say.
She looks maybe 13, yeah.
Singer, actress Carrie Brownstein from Portlandia is 39 years old. Gwyneth Paltrow is 41. Actor Patrick Muldoon turns 45. Stephen Jenkins of Third Eye Blind is 49. And the loaf! Meat! Loaf! Oh, it's
what's better than that song?
It's just about 8 minutes of sheer oral ecstasy. A-U-R-A-L, ecstasy. Oh, it's so great. So sad that Meatloaf can't sing anymore. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Linkin Park along with Steve Aoki. That's from the Recharged album coming out on October the 29th here on the Kevin and Bean Show on the world famous K-Rock. Coming up next, we're going to be talking about Breaking Bad. It's finally here. Series finale this Sunday night. How do you want it to end? We'll be taking your calls. Hey, Simon Baker, TV's The Mentalist. How are you, my friend?
Yeah, good, man. How are you?
Doing great. Thanks. It's always great to have you on the show. Are you watching Breaking Bad?
Nope.
Too busy, I'm sure.
You must feel like the odd man out in every dinner party conversation when everybody else is talking about Breaking Bad.
Nah, my assistant watches it religiously, and I've got a few different TV shows that I've set aside for when I finish working.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to sit down and binge watch.
That's the way to go.
Breaking Bad is one of them.
Yeah, for sure.
All right.
The Wire I've never seen.
Oh, I did that with The Wire. So great.
Simon, here's some advice for you, though. Put the closed captioning on your TV when you're watching The Wire. It's the only way you're going to be able to catch everything.
It's so true.
Honestly.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. You think you know how the street lingo of Baltimore goes, but you don't.
Good.
Well, I mean, look, you're doing The Mentalist, of course, which is an hour-long drama, which I imagine makes very long days for much of the year. You probably don't have that much time to get invested in very much TV when you're working. You're probably right about that.
No, that's right. That's the truth.
Well, speaking of TV, I wanted to ask you, and we'll talk about the season 6 premiere this Sunday night. You've been making the rounds, doing the talk shows like a good soldier, promoting this program. You were on The Talk recently, on with Honey Boo Boo's family. What was your impression of hanging out with Mama June and Sugar Bear? Did you talk to them at all?
Not at all.
That was a good choice. Did you weep for the future?
There, aren't I? I'm sorry about that.
I would just think how strange that would be. I mean, you probably find yourself in a lot of situations that you don't expect to be in. But, I mean, that was your job that day, was to go someplace where you were hanging out with Honey Boo Boo. I was just thinking how weird that must have been.
Yeah, but I didn't actually hang out with him. That's the weird part. And I had no idea who Honey Boo Boo was. I mean, I've got my head in the sand, mate. I thought Honey Boo Boo was kind of like a breakfast cereal or something.
How about, since the last time we had you on, how about getting a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame? How was that?
That was fun. Yeah, that was a real highlight. That one snuck up on me.
Is that something that you're aware of as a young man growing up in Australia? Is the Hollywood Walk of Fame even on your radar as a thing that exists?
Not really. You mention Hollywood and you think of Marilyn Monroe and Hollywood Boulevard and all of that stuff as a Hollywood as a destination, Hollywood Boulevard. Mm-hmm. But and the stars on the walk on the sidewalk. But it always feels sort of quite fantastical. Nothing that could ever be a reality. It's not ever something that ever crossed my mind until they asked me about it, and I was like, well, okay.
Yeah, it would be rude to turn it down. But it is weird to think that 100 years from now, assuming, you know, Los Angeles hasn't slid off into the ocean by then, people will come from all around the world and they'll walk down the sidewalk and they'll see your name and they'll go, who the hell is that?
Exactly. That's right.
Season 6 of The Mentalist is Sunday night, 10 o'clock, CBS. This is a season, as I understand it, Simon, and I know you probably can't say too much, that longtime Mentalist fans have been waiting for, because you appear to be very close to cracking the identity of your nemesis on the show.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's right. We're really throwing out all stops and just kind of changing pretty much a lot of what we normally do on network television, which is very procedural. It's very serialized for this season so far.
Well, your man, Patrick Jane, has been looking for Red John ever since episode number one, and I'm sure there will be some relief and satisfaction for the viewers when he is finally unveiled. Does it worry you that you will no longer have that through line to play off of in future seasons?
No, it doesn't worry me. I 6 years is a great amount of time for a TV show to be on the air, and particularly in this climate. And, if the show, the audience wants to stay and continue with the show and enjoys where the show goes beyond that, then that's a great thing. That's fantastic. But at least this way we get to finish out a story that we started.
Probably. Right.
Instead of getting possibly to the end of the sixth season and the show sort of gets cancelled and the audience sits there thinking, well, we never found out.
and also, at some point you have to say, how good is this guy if 6 years later he still can't find a dude, right? I mean, at some point, he's got to step up.
You could look at that way, yeah.
Simon Baker on the phone here on the Kevin Bean Show, talking about The Mentalist that returns for season six this Sunday night on CBS. I wanted to ask you one more thing, and I apologize because I know you've probably been asked about it a million times, and that is that very bizarre day on the set recently where you had an unexpected visitor who was a big Simon Baker fan. What can you tell us about that?
What bizarre day was that one?
The one with the lady in the car crash.
Oh, I don't know what you're talking about.
We heard a story about a woman who was a huge Simon Baker fan who came down to where you guys were filming and crashed into the set. She wanted to meet you. Was that a made up story that somebody gave us?
I don't know. Maybe I was off that day.
Well, but the end of the story is that you came out and said, "Oh, sorry about your car, but I will definitely autograph something for you and take pictures."
I think someone made that story up for you.
Really?
How about that? Well, I'm so glad we had the chance to ask you about it because I filed that away in my mind as being one of those wacky Hollywood fact stories. So no one crashed into the set. How about that?
Not that I can remember, but, it is early.
I think that would stick with you.
All right. Rumor debunked. We heard it straight from Simon Baker's mouth. All right. Before we let you go, sir, anything else you want to tell us about Sunday night?
Well, an opportunity to say thanks to the people that have watched the show, and I hope they enjoy this season as much as I've been enjoying it, because it's exciting. It's been exciting to work on.
Fantastic. Great to talk to you, sir. Have a good one.
Cheers.
Let's get Simon Baker back on the phone. Come on, you guys.
Cheers.
I tried, guys. I feel like I let America down. I tried hard.
Simon just wasn't in a chatty mood.
I had questions for him.
And he had answers. They were just one word.
Apparently I had bad information, too. Oh, well, if you just missed it, it was great. Mm-hmm. Hey, Depeche Mode playing this weekend, a couple of sold-out shows at Staples Center. We want you to go tomorrow night and go backstage and meet the band when you hear Depeche Mode. Any song by Depeche Mode play on the Kevin Bean Show between now and 9, sometime in the next 93 minutes, just pick up the phone and give us a call at 1-800-520-1067. Be caller 106.7, and you are going to see Depeche Mode. Hi, David King of Mexico.
Hey, buddy.
You're my Breaking Bad fan friend.
Yeah.
We've both been watching it since episode one, season one. It all comes to a thrilling conclusion this Sunday night. I am going to give fair warning now that this is all spoiler alerts. If you are not caught up and not interested in hearing about or talking about where Breaking Bad is right now, please tune away for about 15 minutes.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert indeed. So the question we're going to be asking the Kevin and Bean listeners, because we all have so much invested in these characters, is how do you think it will end, and how do you want it to end? I'm sure everybody has given thought to both of those questions. What's likely to happen? What do I want to see happen? We want to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Have you given that any thought, Dave?
Well, I wanted it to end by Hank busting Walter White. Like, that was going to happen.
But
you wanted to see, in other words, a couple of episodes ago when he caught him and had him handcuffed to the back of the truck, you thought, this is it. Finally, Walter White's going to get his just desserts. Hank looks like the good guy. Thank God.
Well, I knew that wasn't going to happen because it happened so, you know, so far away from the end of the series. But that's what I wanted to happen when, as soon as I started watching it and getting involved in Hank's character and stuff like that, especially after he kicked those two assassins' ass from the cartel.
So would you have been, if that had been the final episode and the series would have ended with Walter White in jail, maybe convicted, life sentence or something like that, would that have been a satisfying conclusion for you?
That'd have been fine with me. You know, it's like, hey, the bad guy got what he deserved and, you know, DEA wins. Yay.
Okay. So now that's out. Now
that's
what?
Out of the question. Yeah. As soon as Hank took the bullet, I was like, well, I guess that's not happening. Now, I hope, see, I wanted Hank to win because he was throughout the whole series. And now that these Nazi guys, the Nazi gang with Todd.
Right.
They just came in the last couple of seasons, right? Seasons two or three.
So you're not all that invested in them.
No, but I do like Todd. Todd's a badass.
He is a badass.
He's crazy.
And he killed a guy in Friday Night Lights. That's another spoiler alert.
Right? Yeah, that's where you got to start.
It sort of seems to me like he's smarter than everybody gives him credit for. He's one of those guys who just is quiet and kind of laid back, but he really is always thinking. It's almost like he's going to end up being the next Walter White.
And
like he's headed toward being the meth kingpin now when everybody else is dead or gone.
That's exactly where I think it's headed. I think that Walt's going to try to kill his uncles and – you know, it all started when he keeps, you know, sticking up for Jesse and doesn't want to kill him. I mean, right. I know it's to cook and get the product. And that's all he cares about. Look, right. He has $11 million right now. They don't care. He just wants more money. He just wants to be that chef. He wants to be Walter White. He wants to be Heisenberg.
What's going to happen to Walter White, though, now that he's heading back to Albuquerque. He still thinks that he can somehow get his family back. He's going to just start shooting everybody in the world, I think, at some point.
He has the M60, so I think he goes on a just Rambo-like rampage on Todd's uncles. And I think it's going to come down to Todd saving Walter White. Jesse's going to die, and Walt goes away, gives all the money, gets his money back, gives it to his family, clears them, and then Todd's the new kingpin, the end.
It's going to be very tough to see Aaron Paul's character die, Jesse die, because he has become so sympathetic just in, you know, since he became a broken man this season. Now, all of a sudden, we're kind of rooting for him because all these horrible things are happening to him, even though he is the guy who, you know, season after season after season was just as evil as Walter White was doing all the same things that Walter White was. But now, all of a sudden, we feel bad for him.
Not me. I hated Jesse all along. He's been that guy who's just been nothing but trouble. He's been like he was the problem. Anything that happened that Walter White was trying to get out, it was always Jesse who would have to, you know, he'd have to save Jesse. You know, anyone Jesse gets in contact with dies. You know, he's just bad news, and he's just one of those people who just is not a good person. So he sucks. Basically, his character sucks.
So Jesse,
I did not like Jesse.
So Jesse will be dead. Walt will be dead. Todd will be last man standing. That's how.
No,
you would
I think
like-
Walt survives. I think Walt survives, goes on the run, hides, whatever, you know, and then Todd is the new kingpin of blue meth and knows how to cook it.
All right. Well, we're going to find out. We're going to take your calls, too. How do you think Breaking Bad is going to end Sunday night? How do you want it to end? And it's interesting that there are people who are rooting. I mean, I know there's been much written and said about Walter White being an anti-hero, but there are people who want him to get away with it. I mean, he is a hideous, heinous asshole. Yet there are still people rooting for him and want him to get away with it. Chip, by the way, who's taking your calls right now at the toll-free line, says, I hope Breaking Bad ends with Walt steering his boat into a hurricane and then he becomes a lumberjack. That's a great idea. I like that.
Very creative.
All right, we'll take your calls. It's all Breaking Bad talk all the time. If you're just tuning in, lots of spoiler alerts if you're not caught up. But we'll talk to you right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show. Keep listening for any song by Depeche Mode to play when it does. You know what to do. Pick up the phone and win your tickets to see them this weekend at Staples Center and go backstage. Right now, we're talking Breaking Bad. 1-800-520-1067. This is all spoiler alerty. People, if you're not caught up on Breaking Bad, tune out immediately because we're discussing the series finale this Sunday night. How do you think it's going to end? How do you want it to end? Boy, a lot of people are invested in these characters, too. Let's see what Brandon says. He's on line one. He's up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Brandon. Thanks a lot for calling, man.
Good morning, man.
What do you think?
I think Waltz could become so out of control that Jesse needs to be able to put him down.
I'm sorry. Say it again. I missed that. Say it again.
I think Jesse needs to be able to put Waltz down.
Is he? What end of the phone is he talking in? It's not me, right? Dave, do you speak Brandon? What's he saying?
Yeah, he says that. Oh, there he is. Go ahead, Brandon.
Sorry. I think Walt needs to be put down by Jesse.
Okay, so Jesse's going to get the ultimate revenge because you feel that Jesse, his life was ruined by his association with Walter White.
Yeah,
and now he's going to get sweet revenge.
He started out so bad that I think he needs to be able to get sweet revenge and then put Walt down because he's become rabid.
Okay, yeah, he has. I mean, Walt has absolutely lost his mind. I mean, he is one of those guys. Look, the best thing that ever could have happened to him is that he gets away and gets a new identity and a new life and is able to live for the rest of his life on the money that he does have. Yet he's not satisfied with that. He's not going to be satisfied. He thinks he deserves everything. He thinks he deserves the family and the love and the stature and everything, regardless of what he's done so far.
Right.
But don't you think? Don't you think Jesse hates Todd more than Walt now because he took out his girlfriend?
Oh, that's
like,
a good point.
At least Walt didn't kill the kid.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right, thank you for the call, Brandon. Appreciate that. Yeah, he is no fan of Todd's at this point. And Todd has turned into a terrifying guy, hasn't he? All right, let's try Edwin. Edwin is up next. He's on line three. He's going to bring the ricin into the conversation, which is one thing we haven't mentioned yet that a lot of people are thinking has to show itself again. On the finale, because we saw in that flashback at the beginning of the second half of the season that Walt retrieves the ricin capsule. What's that going to be for? What do you think, Edwin?
Good morning, Lisa May. Good morning, Kevin B.
Good morning.
How are you guys?
We're good.
Go ahead.
First of all, I think that Jesse's going to kill Todd. He's going to take him out hard. He's going to probably rip out his head or something.
Okay.
And then I believe that he's going to poison the two company owners with the ricin.
Lydia and the checks are.
No, actually, the ones that the Wall Street.
Oh, gray matter.
Yeah, gray matter, exactly. I believe that you'll poison them and then go medieval on the Nazis and totally kill them.
It's going to be a bloodbath Sunday night, isn't it?
100%. 100%. And then the biggest thing is that Walter White is a man, and Heisenberg is a giant ego he has, so Heisenberg can't ever be destroyed. Heisenberg is forever, ever immortal.
I hear what you're saying, but how about that scene? Was it last week where he puts the Heisenberg hat back on and then it doesn't get the job done, doesn't keep him warm? It almost was like a way of saying to the audience, Heisenberg is dead. Walter White is just this sad, broken, lonely man now. There is no more Heisenberg.
I believe so, but then at the end, the very last 5 minutes of the show.
Oh, yeah.
You see what happens, and his ego kicks in, and he's like, forget you guys. I am the man no matter what, and I'm going to come back and get my money. And my revenge.
Yeah, we'll see if he's right. Thank you very much for the call. I appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
Yeah. Just a reminder, you guys might want to set your DVRs a couple minutes extra because it's going to be about an hour and 15 minutes. The episode's going to be an hour.
That's right. Yeah. Let's go to James. James is on line seven. He's got an alternate theory on how he thinks Breaking Bad ends this Sunday night. Again, if you're just tuning in, ultimate spoiler alerts if you're not caught up. Hi, James.
Hey, how are you guys? Love the show, as always.
Thank you. What do you think?
I think, actually, yeah, the fact that he saw his old colleagues talking a bunch of crap about who he was and he was never really part of the company hit his ego. I think he has no family. He has nothing going for him. The only thing that he saw that still exists and is still around is the blue crystal meth that he created, and he still has a chance to get back. I believe he will go back, redeem himself with Jesse, and somehow help, with the help of Lydia, end up in Europe with the checks, cooking blue meth at 100%.
Wow. That's pretty good.
So you think that basically he does win. He gets everything but his family, right? In other words, he becomes a drug kingpin all over again and is able to somehow stay out of the DEA. He's able to escape them. All those
money
people
talks,
are looking for him?
I believe so. I believe money talks. Yeah, they're cooking at 92%. but Heisenberg is the only one to get it back to 100%, and Lydia will help him out because money talks.
But Todd loves Lydia so much, I don't know if that would happen. But, you know, Heisenberg or Walter White might expose himself just to prove a point to the Grey Matter owners of, look, this is me, this is who I am. And
speaking of exposing himself, let me ask Dave you this, and James, let me ask you this. Why did Walter White call the DEA last week and give them his location? He went to all that trouble to get the new identity and move as far away from possible and off their radar. Now he's practically begging them to come look for him, which they did. Why did he do that, do you think?
I think he gave up. He gave up. That's not the life he wanted. He, you know, he had his money, but if he's going to live like that, he couldn't do it. That's why he was paying the guy, you know, 10 grand to stay an extra hour, but he couldn't do it. But then when he saw the Grey Matter couple talk about how, you know,
he had nothing to do with the company, that kicked Heisenberg back.
That brought him back.
Let's not forget a couple episodes back or a few seasons back when they hit his ego and he was talking to one of the guys and he says, "What's my name?"
Yeah.
That's right. That's right.
Say my name, yeah.
James, it's good. I just thought he was a Beyonce fan. James, it's going to be very – look, I know there's plenty of other things on Sunday nights. You know, Homeland's coming back this week and stuff. It's going to be very sad to not live in a world where there's Breaking Bad to look forward to, though, isn't it?
No kidding. I don't know what else to watch, but we'll see. We'll figure it out.
It's been awesome. All right, dude, appreciate the call. Thanks so much. All right, spoiler alert done. We're not going to talk about it anymore. Sunday night, obviously, Breaking Bad series finale. We'll take a break. Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat coming up next right after this on the World Famous – O.J. Simpson
in trouble, in jail.
Wait till you hear this story.
O.J. Simpson's in jail?
And in trouble, though. In trouble, in jail. You're going to laugh out loud when you hear what the Juice has been accused of doing in prison. We'll tell you coming up right after the top of the hour here on K-Rock. First, though, time for Ralph Garman and the Showbiz Beat on a Friday.
It is Friday. That means tonight at 10 p.m. at the Improv in Hollywood, California on Melrose. You can see Hollywood Babylon. Me and Kevin Smith on stage live giving you the week's entertainment news as well as other sources of humor, we hope. I don't know. I don't really remember much about the show. I'm usually well drunk by the time we get on stage.
As you are most nights at 10 p.m.
That's true. Kevin's high off a bale of weed, so we really don't know much about the show, but people say it's very good. They seem to like it. Why don't you come out tonight and check us out? You can go to improv.com. Or you can go to BabylonRalph.com for more details and to get tickets. Or,
yeah, but where can I get them? I mean, they're like, where is there?
You know where you can get them, Dave? You can get them right now. How about if I give away some tickets? 1-800-520-1067. Two lucky winners who get through right now will get a pair of tickets to see me and Kevin Smith do Hollywood Babylon tonight at the Hollywood Improv on Melrose. Just a little incentive. And if you don't win, like I mentioned, improv.com. That's where you can go. I'm concerned. I'm concerned about women's rights. You know me?
Are you?
Yeah.
That's nice.
I always have been. And I am 100% behind Femin. You know the Ukrainian feminist group Femin?
Yes.
F-E-M-E-N.
They've been all over the world with their protests.
They often protest things like fashion shows and things like that. And they protest Lisa Howe.
They get naked?
Yes, they do. They show up topless. Ooh. And they have messages painted on their naked torsos. Ooh. Well, they hit another runway fashion show, Nina Ricci's show in Paris yesterday. Two topless protesters stormed the stage. One had written on her breast and stomach, "Fashion dictator."
That is not going to catch on.
Slogan and motto is not going to catch on. The other one had written, "Models don't go to brothels." Again, don't know what that means. Not a very effective protest, but still, they had boobies.
Yeah. How about a little less writing on their chest and a little more getting protesters with bigger boobs? How about that?
That would be good, too. They could fit more slogans.
It's true.
More mottos on bigger boobs. Ladies, think about it. Just send your bustiest protesters out to these events. Again, because I care about women's rights.
Big ones, right?
FX Network is doing a TV version of the classic movie Fargo. They just announced who will be playing the William H. Macy role from the original 1996
film.
Farrah Abramson?
I hope it's William H. Macy.
Sadly, is not.
However, Ralph Garman.
It is not Ralph Garman. Sadly, that would be great news as well.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
No, also not Leonardo DiCaprio. He is,
who the hell is it?
It's Martin Freeman.
Who's that?
Oh, we love Martin Freeman.
We love Martin Freeman, Lisa.
Who's Martin Freeman?
From Lord of the Rings and from...
From The Hobbit.
Yeah.
And from the original Office, the British version of The Office.
I know who it is.
He played Dr. Watson in BBC's Sherlock with Benedict Cumberbatch.
Yes.
Very talented, very entertaining actor. He will be playing the William H. Macy role.
I don't know who any of those people are.
His co-star in the series, Billy Bob Thornton.
Oh, interesting.
Wow.
Yeah, Billy Bob, returning to television, will play a mysterious stranger comes to town and sets Martin's character on a destructive path. Series will debut sometime next spring. But
would you say that to Tom Petty?
I would not say that to Tom Petty, Billy Bob Thornton.
Well, it's mashed potatoes with no gravy, you know what I'm saying?
I do. I know exactly what you're saying. And this sounds like the weirdest slash greatest thing ever. Tom Hanks and his wife Rita Wilson do a all-star benefit event every year in Santa Monica called Simply Shakespeare.
Mm-hmm.
They've done it for 23 years now. It is a great fundraising event where they get people you wouldn't ordinarily see do Shakespeare, and they put on a Shakespearean play with actors of all kinds, celebrities of all kinds. This year, they did Two Gentlemen of Verona.
Okay.
One of the stars of the production that they got to join their... and it's a very sort of lighthearted, slapdash version of Shakespeare. Everybody has a very good time with it. They talked Paul McCartney into taking the stage this year.
What?
Really?
Not only that, but they incorporated Paul's songs into the play. So Paul sang on stage as well as acted during Two Gentlemen of Verona. The show opened with Paul singing Live and Let Die. Then an obscure song called Dress Me Up as a Robber from his 1982 album Tug of War. Then one of the other actors in the show, William Shatner, did a duet with Paul McCartney.
No way.
On Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds.
No.
Yes.
I want to go to that. Is it too late? It's already happened, right?
Film that.
Then Jason Alexander joined in with Paul singing Let It Be together.
Wow.
And then the final number of the evening was The End from Abbey Road. That's how they finished the play.
That's awesome.
That happened in front of people on stage.
Hmm.
Can you imagine William Shatner and Paul McCartney doing a duet of Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds?
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
Yes!
That just happened.
That does blow my mind.
Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds. Woo-hoo! That's right, Captain Cook. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Avril Lavigne's 29 years old today. Lil Wayne is 31. Carrie Brownstein from Portlandia turns 39. Gwyneth Paltrow turns 41. Patrick Muldoon, the actor, is 45. Stephen Jenkins of Third Eye Blind is 49. Our own associate producer, Christine, celebrates her birthday today. And singer Meatloaf is 66 years old today. Meat.
And I would do anything for love, but I won't do that.
Oh, Meatloaf.
I love the Loaf so
much. When Loaf could sing? Those were good times.
I'm disturbed by you telling me that his voice is shot. I did not know that.
We just heard a little taste of Meatloaf's classic, I Will Do Anything for Love, right?
From 20 years ago, right?
20 years. Let me play a recent live performance of that very same song from Australia, okay?
I'm afeard.
Here you go.
That sounds like the worst karaoke singer ever.
Yeah.
There's your Meatloaf right there.
Zero for effort.
Yeah.
Zero for style. Zero for star quality.
Yeah.
And you know what? I'm being generous.
Yeah.
That makes me sad, Ralph.
Go sell your Meatloaf someplace else, mister. He's 66 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Two things you definitely want to stick around for this hour on the Kevin and Bean Show here on the world famous K-Rock. One, we're going to be playing a song from Depeche Mode when we do be caller 106.7 through, and you'll win tickets to see the band at Staples Center tomorrow night. They're a sold out show, and you get to go backstage for a meet and greet with the legends themselves, Depeche Mode. That's one. Number two is there's a rap beef going on. I don't know if you've heard Kanye West versus Jimmy Kimmel. It's on.
It's for real.
It does appear to be for reals. But then again, you know, Jimmy faked us out with the twerking girls, so we'll hear from the man himself in about 30 minutes from right now. Less than that, Jimmy Kimmel will be on the air with us talking about what's going on, why Kanye West called him in his office yesterday and screamed at him. First, though,
yeah.
O.J. Simpson is back in the news, kids. Now, wouldn't you think that once you're in jail, the only time we would ever hear about you is when you come up for parole and they say no? That's it.
Yeah. What's up with him?
One of the funniest articles I've ever read is this, and here's the first sentence. O.J. Simpson found out how the cookie crumbles when he was allegedly caught stealing gooey goodies from a Nevada prison cafeteria. The former gridiron great was recently caught with a stash of not one, but more than a dozen oatmeal cookies, according to Fox News Radio. He is in prison for 33 years, by the way, out in Nevada, and he was trying to smuggle the cookies into his cell after lunch. He might have gotten away with it. If not for an inquisitive guard who noticed that he was hiding something under his prison clothes. So I don't know what happens to you in prison if they find out that you're stealing food from the cafeteria, but I do know our good friend O.J. Simpson is back on the phone on the Kevin Levine Show on K-Rock. Hey, Juice.
Kevin Levine, how you guys doing?
Well, it's nice to talk to you again, but it's got to be a little bit embarrassing when they catch you trying to steal cookies.
First of all, I didn't steal no cookies, okay?
Oh. You did. I'm sorry. This article says that the guard found you with a dozen cookies under your shirt.
Yeah. The white media says that I stole cookies. First, they said I killed some people. Then I stole some memorabilia. And now I'm stealing cookies. They're just trying to get the juice. Because after all, I'm the juice.
Okay. But isn't it possible that you did all of those things and they're just reporting the facts of the case?
No. Like I told you, I'm just a victim of the white media being jealous because most of their women want to do me.
Okay.
What about the fact that you've gained like 100 pounds since you've been in prison, and maybe the last thing you need is a dozen oatmeal cookies?
See, that's what I'm saying. I put on a little weight in prison, and so why would I want to eat cookies? Because that would make me even fatter. And that's not what I want. I'm trying to get back into shape. You know, I'm trying to. I think I could play in the NFL, quite frankly.
No, you. Well, for starters,
I got a shot.
Okay, you're.
When I get out in about 33 years, I'm gonna walk on, and I'm gonna try to get one of these teams.
You are 66 years old now.
That's true.
I think your playing days are long behind you. But it's also, if there's some concern that you may either have diabetes or are headed toward diabetes, which runs in your family, and these cookies aren't going to help you
because I'm black.
No, because your sister died of diabetes.
I have to have diabetes. That's what you're saying.
I'm not. It doesn't have anything to do with
being family black. History.
That's family history.
What? Juice,
what are you eating?
Oh, I'm eating a cookie.
Why are you eating more cookies? You're fat. B, you might already have diabetes.
Yeah, well, these cookies are good. They're good oatmeal cookies.
Are you allowed to have that cookie, or was that one under your shirt as well?
I found it under my pillow.
Really?
I think the cookie fairy put it there.
There's no cookie fairy.
There's a cookie fairy. Well, because I'm black, I can't get a visit from the cookie fairy.
Does it have anything to do with you being black? The National Enquirer says when corrections officers questioned Simpson, he allegedly confessed to the theft. O.J. just stood there with a goofy grin on his face as the guard kept digging inside his shirts and throwing cookies on the floor.
Oh, what a waste of cookies.
There was a lot of cookies under my shirt.
Okay, why are you stuffing your face now? Can we just talk to you for a minute?
You know what? I'm eating cookies.
Well, right? Yeah, we know.
Because I'm going to die in prison.
Oh.
And so I'm going to eat all the cookies I want. Well. I'm going to steal cookies, too. If I'm hungry, I'm going to steal some cookies.
Okay, at least
and
you're being honest.
I
would
have got away from it, too. Wasn't for those meddling kids and their
it's
dog.
It's always the meddling kids and the dog.
Scooby-Doo.
What's in those cookies, Juice?
I don't know. It tastes a little bit like my cellmate.
Oh.
Oh,
yeah.
What?
Is that how it got snuck in?
I should have taken a closer look at this cookie.
Man.
There's Bastille Pompeii on the world-famous K-Rock. It's 106.7 KROQ. Kanye West's ultimate foe, Jimmy Kimmel, joins us coming up next here on the Kevin Levine Show. First, though, the Afro line is on the air at 323-520-AFRO, a name, by the way, that I think Jimmy Kimmel came up with the Afro line, if I recall correctly.
That's right, yeah.
And got the phone number for us.
Uh-huh.
This is vacation time of year. You may have noticed that Kevin is off this week. I was gone last week, and that's what our first caller is calling about.
This is Steve W. Ledbetter calling. I wanted to congratulate you on a successful week of the Kevin and Bean Show, minus Bean. It's been the best listening experience of my life, mainly because Bean has congenital douchebaggery.
How dare you? It is funny to think that there are people who are actually delighted when one of us is not on the show. In fact, this is another one.
I've been listening all week, and Bean hasn't been on, and I haven't heard anyone say anything about vacation. Is he dead? Please tell me he's dead.
Sorry to disappoint, sir. This is going to be shocking for some people who haven't been paying attention, but October starts next week, and that means this is the first of this Afro Call for the season.
Always poop. Outside the window, always behind the tree.
Ah, can't wait. Question for you, Lisa May.
Okay.
Hey, guys, longtime listener. I was wondering what happened to the good old days where you used to put Lisa in the basement. I'm not even sure why she used to go in the basement, but that was awesome. Bring it back. Sorry, Lisa.
You should be sorry. That's just mean.
It was awfully cobwebby down there, if I recall correctly.
Yes, although I put in porn.
Here's a listener with a what I think a very generous offer.
Hey, I was just listening to your show on Friday, and Kanye West needed his room repainted white. Hey, I can repaint his wife's room white. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Huh? Huh? Repaint his wife's womb white? Huh?
I think we get it, sir. All right. If you go to kevinandbean.com, there's a podcast that's up there. That's our own DJ Omar Khan with Sam, the Armenian comedian. And on last week's episode, Sam gave out his real-life cell phone number. And Omar was very clear. He said, look, Sam, if you give this out, people are going to call you. And he's like, that's fine. Well, apparently one of our listeners did call Sam and taped it for us.
Hello, hey, Sam. Is this Sam, the Armenian comedian?
Yes, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. I met one of your colleagues over at K-Rod, Ralph Garman. You know who that is?
Not who?
Garman.
No.
Hey, you know who Ralph is? He works on the K-Rod show in the morning.
Okay. Would you like to talk to me slower? Because I can't grab all your words you're saying. Blah, 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 blah. Sounds like to me like that. Slow. Repeat yourself slower.
Oh.
You are trying to do another prank call on me. You bastard.
Oh, that escalated quickly, didn't it? ever since we've been playing that awesome Norwegian hit from Ylvis called The Fox, our listeners cannot resist calling and singing on the Afro line.
I saw you on Jeopardy in 2013. How does it feel to be more popular than Bean? I'm sorry, Ralph, I wasn't trying to be mean. Oh, oh, please buy a beer mug. Oh, oh. Somebody kill him.
So a little bit of everything going on in that call. Speaking of the fox, here's another.
Been stuck in my head all day. All day. All day.
Yeah.
And another.
What does the fox say? Fire, behemoth.
And finally, on the Afro line at 323-520-AFRO, I think this guy might be requesting, what does Kevin and Bean say?
What does the bean say? What does the Kevin say?
Hit it, Steve.
Kevin's bad, Bean is too. Bean's a creep and both can't speak. You should boo their stupid show. And it always sounds like poo. Bean's a dick, and Kevin's dumb. And my ears go ow, ow, ow. And here's the sound that really blows. What does the Kevin say?
Not many people can take us on head to never mind. Oh, come on!
What the Bean say?
Sounds like somebody with sword grapes. Is that what you have, a sword?
Sure have. I've got sword grapes right now.
What did Kevin say?
Are there any things that I've changed my mind in the time since 2013 and with the time you are? President Clinton was sort of young and virulent. Is that the right word?
What the beans say?
Because in a way, it kind of looked like, well, at least all is in that, you know, whatever that old expression is about all ends that wells or however, you know what I mean. All right, he's a dare. What? Who's that? Huh?
What the Kevin say?
Yeah. Were you being a doctor at the point you were acting at? Any single tickets available, I think, still? If you want to go to Ticketmaster and check it out, I would do that quickly rather than lately.
Traffic.
Thank you, Lucy. Thank you, Lisa.
What the beans say?
Average number of movie titles in which female porn stars star as women.
This is like when May and Trat, or May, Trat and May rather, when they... What am I trying to say here, Kevin? Matt and Trey, thank you.
What's this is like... May from now on.
What the Kevin say?
It's here. 20 for a full side per you know what I mean. So crazy, the dirt's so slippery, then you hit the pavement. Sometimes that's more sticky, sometimes it's slipperier, but there are some good accidents happen in this, and not just with cars on cars. You hit posts or something else, and it seems like avoiding that is the biggest key to winning that race. See, it's a good thing. That's good old personal, you know what I'm saying.
What a week our friend Jimmy Kimmel has had, Lisa May. Think about this for a second. Sunday night, he's on stage at the Emmys presenting an award with Sofia Vergara. And you know they did it afterwards,
oh,
right?
Oh, totally.
Monday night, like an a-hole, he closes up all the streets in Hollywood so no one can go anywhere. And he puts a Paul McCartney concert on the air.
Right.
Then Tuesday night, he closes the streets down again. Justin Timberlake performs.
Right.
Thursday afternoon, he finds himself in a rap battle with Kanye West. Last night, Thursday night, the San Gennaro Festival kicks off for its 12th annual rendition down there in Hollywood as well. And Friday morning, he's back on the Kevin and Bean Show talking to his old friends. How are you, Jimmy?
Good. How you doing?
That's quite a week, my friend.
It was quite a night last night.
look, this Kanye West thing, I know that you're the king of the pranks and you got us all with the twerking girl, but swear to us on Uncle Frank's grave that you're not trying to pull one over on us again this time.
Well, I swear, I mean, no, this is not a prank. Unless Kanye West is a secret genius and decided to include me in a prank that I have no part of. This is not a prank.
How did you first hear about it, James?
When he called and screamed at me in my office yesterday.
weird was that?
That was weird. I will say it's not the first time that has happened, but
look,
it's not the first time Kanye's called and screamed at you, or someone has.
It is the first time Kanye screamed at me, yeah.
So for folks who are just waking up who missed it, basically you did what you said on this show last night was a fairly innocuous skit, which is you had kid actors recreating the Kanye West interview that he did with BBC's Zane Lowe earlier in the week. And basically just word for word, you had a kid playing Kanye, and that's what upset him, right?
Yeah, I don't know why it upset him. It wasn't particularly cutting or funny, for that matter. It was a kid saying what Kanye said, and done it. This, for some reason, set him off. I was unable to get to the bottom of why this upset him so much, but I thought it was one of those things where he would vent and yell at me, and then we would have a pleasant ending to the conversation, but it was not.
Were you surprised by some of the stuff that he was tweeting about? I mean, he was obviously going out of his way to hurt you by talking about how you weren't funny and how you're ugly and all this stuff. I mean, he sounds like a little kid when he's tweeting.
Yeah, well, I'll let you draw whatever conclusions you want.
So how's this going to end, do you think? Is there going to be, I mean, are you,
one
I'm
of
sure
you're going to have to die. I mean, it's as simple as that.
Well, I hope that's not the case, but I'm sure you tried to get him to come on the show to talk it out, right?
No, we didn't. We never really got to that point in the conversation. And it was, I hung up the phone, and then about 40 minutes later, the tweet started appearing, and I thought, all right, well, I guess I'm going to have to address this since everybody's talking about it.
This has to be one of the strangest things that's ever happened to you, Jim.
You know what? I wish I could say that was true.
All right. Hey, real quick, before we talk about San Gennaro, and I know it's off and running already, and it looks like another fantastic year for the festival down in Hollywood. Tell me about Paul McCartney. How much did you get to hang out with him on Monday night?
Well, not a tremendous amount because I was preparing the show, but a little bit, and he's about as friendly as a superstar can possibly get. I mean, he's very nice, and he will gladly indulge you with Beatles stories, and he realizes how important. I mean, it's crazy. You walk into the building with Paul McCartney, and people freak. I mean, they start crying. My mom started crying. It's like young women who work at the show started crying, and it's a weird thing. People really don't like him.
But I mean, don't you think, Jimmy? And I've given this some thought. Don't you think that in some ways you could argue he is the most famous and popular person on the planet? I mean, he is the key person for the biggest rock band of all time, and he's just loved by everyone from 5 to 100.
I think so. I mean, I think he's probably the most popular or beloved person on, I don't know, it's hard to say on the whole planet, because there's a lot of people that don't speak any English, and you wonder how much impact he had on them. But he's certainly the most famous person we've ever had on our show.
Did you know he was going to do 15 songs? I mean, that's a McCartney concert. That's not just showing up and doing a couple numbers for the TV.
Not only didn't we know how many songs he was going to do, but in rehearsal, he did like 6 other songs.
Oh,
he didn't rehearse the songs that he did on the show. So he did a lot of songs. And, it's funny because, you have a lot of celebrities come in and out. But when you see Paul McCartney, is on your show and is even in your neighborhood, it's really something I had to remind myself to take in.
Yeah, exactly. It kind of puts all the Honey Boo Boo guests in perspective, doesn't it, Jimmy?
Yes, it does.
All right, this is the voice of our friend Jimmy Kimmel here on the show. He is the co-founder and co-host once again this year of the Feast of San Gennaro. It is happening right in your neighborhood, right behind your complex there at across from Hollywood and Highland, behind the Jimmy Kimmel Live Theater in Hollywood. What's going on this year, Jim?
It's the same thing as always. It's a big Italian feast. We have all the food booths set up, and there's pizza and pasta and clams and cannolis and zeppoles and rides for the kids and a petting zoo, and it's fun. It's, you can come into the daytime. It's a family atmosphere. It's a family atmosphere the whole time, but at night we have music and you can sit in the outside and eat, and it's a good time.
It's only $5. It's going on all weekend long. Kids under 12 are free. What is the San Gennaro Foundation? What do they do, Jimmy?
Well, we support a number of local charities, food banks, my friend's place, local police organizations, scholarships, all based in Hollywood area.
Fantastic. And you're going to be there? Corolla's going to be there? You guys are going to be hanging out all weekend?
We will be popping in and out throughout the weekend. I think Adam's in Minneapolis this weekend.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
That's
right.
He was there last night. And, whenever someone's urinating in a corner, his presence is felt.
All right. If you end up that you're lying to us about this Kanye thing, and this is all some elaborate prank, and that I'm not going to be very happy about it, I just want you to know.
Well, you're always in on the prank, so don't worry about it.
All right, James, have a great weekend at the San Gennaro Festival. And again, you can get tickets, like I said, $5. Kids under 12 are free. It's going on all weekend long. It is super, super fun. And don't miss Jimmy Kimmel Live tonight with special guests Amy Poehler, Stephen Merchant, and music from Bastille. Anything else, James?
Thanks, guys. And as they say in Italy, muchas gracias.
Robert Escobedo from Linwood is going to see that band right there tomorrow night at Staples Center and get a chance to go backstage and meet and greet with Depeche Mode. Congratulations. Thanks so much for listening. Ralph is here now. Time for another look at the Showbiz Beat on a Friday morning. Hey, Ralph.
Hey there.
Hello.
There
we
go.
How about my microphone being turned on?
Wow. Why does Muggs want you off the show?
I don't know. Word on Twitter is he's firing me. I don't know how that works, but what they say.
I'm not sure that's possible, okay.
That's what the Twitter says.
What's going on Twitter? What do you mean? I've been busy. What did I miss?
Something. You tweeted something about you care more about music than celebrity gossip, and then they said I'm being fired, and they said,
okay, K-Rock is looking for
fired.
K-Rock is looking for DJs, and I think somebody was that was somebody's comment about the qualifications listed in the advertisement for talent. None of us would make the cut. None of us would be hired today.
I'm sure that's true.
Which is actually kind of sad when you think about it.
I mean, grandfathered in. Is that what you mean? I'm okay?
I guess that's the only reason we're here is because we already had the job before they started putting these new stringent rules in effect of what they're looking for.
People have to know things about music?
Yes.
Come on.
And equipment. And all the stuff they want you to be able to run, the equipment that you have to... I don't know how to do any of that stuff.
Madness,
they wouldn't hire me today if I were applying for this job.
It was so funny. I was in Philadelphia last week broadcasting back here. And I got to the studio in Philadelphia, and the guy's there and says, okay, so here's the board and everything. You just, and this is, I turned and said, dude, I'm on air. I don't know how to do any of the things you just said. I don't know what you're talking about. You know how to run a board? No. Because I'm a radio guy. Doesn't mean I know anything about radio.
Right.
Don't be foolish, sir. I think he was surprised. I guess everyone there at that station knows how to run things.
Well, I wonder
what kind of riffraff is going to be walking around the K-Rock studios if they start hiring people.
I don't know. But you know how I feel about radio people.
Yeah. It's not going to be the high-quality people.
It's not going to be high-quality
I know that you're going to welcome them with open arms like you do.
Yeah. Well, a couple years in, if they're still around, I'll say hi. This is fascinating news because, you know, I'm a Philadelphia Eagles fan.
Mm-hmm.
Legendary designer Vera Wang has just given the Philadelphia Eagles cheerleaders an update, a uniform update.
Really?
Yeah, just gave them a whole revamp.
There was nothing wrong with the old uniforms, by the way.
But these are even sexier, judging from the photographs that I can see. The just low croc tops and high-rise skirts and boy shorts and just butt and boobs everywhere. And a big fashion name like Vera Wang doing the uniforms. Yeah, because that's the Eagles' problem. It's the cheerleader uniform. keeping us at 1-2. How about revamping the defense and leaving the uniforms alone for the cheerleaders? Get Vera Wang to play safety. It's nuts, these people. All right, this is good news. Christoph Waltz. Love him, right?
Yeah.
Django Unchained, of course, and Glorious Bastards.
Double Oscar winner, isn't he?
I don't know if he's got two. Does he have two? For Inglourious and Django?
Yeah, I don't want to quote myself on that. Maybe he's just got one, but anyway, he's certainly great.
He's highly, highly honored and beloved. In talks to play the villain in the new Tarzan movie.
Nice.
Alexander Skarsgård has been attached to play Tarzan. And Christoph will play a man named Captain Rom. Who attempts to capture Tarzan and exchange him for a ransom in diamonds. Emma Stone is rumored to be talking about playing Jane.
Wow.
Everything about this sounds good.
Yeah, it does.
Alexander Skarsgård in a loincloth.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
He's dreamy. Believe it or not, Beer Mug actually came in handy and did some research. And yes, Christoph Waltz has won 2 Oscars, Bean.
How about that?
Both Best Supporting Actors for Django Unchained and Inglourious Bastards.
He deserves them. He's incredible.
Absolutely. Britney Spears people are talking out, balking against the stories that have been coming out this week about ticket sales for her upcoming Las Vegas concert residency at the Planet Hollywood Resort and Casino.
You told us earlier in the week that perhaps they weren't selling as fast as one might have hoped.
Slow sales. That was the news story that both Celine Dion and Elton John, everyone else who ever had one of these residencies, the first 16 weeks usually sells out within hours once they go on sale. Sluggish ticket sales was what the news we were getting out of Vegas. Larry Rudolph, her manager, says, au contraire. He says every VIP package for the first 16 shows are sold out.
Huh?
Yeah, that's manager speak right there. For the 4 tickets that we have are going at $2,000, where you get a meet and greet backstage. They're sold out. What about the rest of the seats, Larry Rudolph? He's also addressing the rumors that Britney is going to lip sync to everything every night.
Yeah. Huh?
He said Britney will be singing on stage. Yeah, whether she'll be singing softly to a backing track as it's playing or
her
not.
Mic is he's dead not addressing. And she's
this is
singing.
Just it's that kind of the double speak you get from people's management that makes you not trust anybody.
Yep.
And how dare anyone out there make fun of Britney after all she's been through? She's a human.
Oh, I'm sorry, Chris. Jeez. You get so upset every time we talk about her.
Oh, leave Britney alone.
And since I started off talking about football, let's close that way as well. This Sunday, of course, it's football over the pond. Football in Old Blighty. London's Wembley Stadium will be the home of one football game this Sunday. Pittsburgh Steelers take on the Minnesota Vikings for the NFL International Series game. It's a horrible idea, by the way. Just madness.
It is.
Madness. They say, well, we want to get a game. We're going to get a team over there. We want to have a team in London. How is that going to be possible? How do you play 8 games at home in London and then travel for 8 games throughout the United States?
It doesn't make any sense. It's crazy.
Funny enough, I showed it to the Queen about it on Thursday.
Exactly. But I think that woman encapsulated my thoughts perfectly. Anyway, this Sunday you will see the Vikings play the Steelers in the UK. Guess who's singing the national anthem?
Who?
Well, you're no fun. I said guess. I didn't say knock, knock. I said guess who's singing the national anthem.
One Direction.
Nope.
Hmm. I was just thinking Britain.
Sure, yeah, no, maybe, that's a good guess. You'll never guess.
Lily Allen.
Nope.
The Spice Girls.
An American is singing.
Okay, Kesha.
We don't have this kind of time. Gene Simmons of Kiss.
Oh,
no.
Really?
Gene Simmons will be singing the national anthem. First of all, can Gene Simmons sing?
Barely.
He can barely sing at his peak. He grunts.
That's what I thought. He sticks his tongue out and, right. And twerks, right? Oh, no, wait a minute. That's Miley Cyrus. I'm sorry. He spits blood and fire and stuff, right? That's what he does. He's not a singer.
Is all of Kiss going to be doing it, or is it just Gene solo?
Just Gene Simmons of Kiss.
That's weird.
We'll be singing the national anthem.
That's very strange.
Oh, say. Couldn't you say? Maybe talk to him on Monday. See how that went for him.
Yeah, sure.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Avril Lavigne's 29 years old today.
Ralph, may I interrupt and say I've gotten some heat from the Kevin and Bean listeners who suggest I am not giving her due with no bell.
You're not belling Avril?
I have not been belling Avril all
day. And
they're
saying
today.
She should be belled.
They believe she has earned it. I am on the fence, but really just on this side of no.
See, I am on the fence just on this side of yes, but it is not a clear-cut call by any
stretch. No! It's a tough one.
It really is. It's a coin flip. Anybody have a coin?
No. Lisa, bell or no bell for Avril Lavigne?
I'm going to go ahead and say bell.
Lisa's saying bell. Beerman, yeah. You got a coin there?
Soft bell.
All right, I got a coin here.
All right.
Okay.
Heads, bell. Tails, no bell.
Okay, fair.
Heads, bell.
All right.
All right, Avril Lavigne, there you go. Lil Wayne's 31. Carrie Brownstein from Portlandia is 39 years old. Gwyneth Paltrow is 41. Patrick Muldoon, 45 years old today. Stephen Jenkins of Third Eye Blind is 49. And singer Meat Loaf.
And I would do anything for love, but I won't do that. No, I won't do that.
He's 66 years old today. I want to celebrate by playing a little live Loaf. I mean, sure, you've heard the records, but yeah, I've never really heard Meat Loaf until you hear him do this song live.
I bet he's just as good.
No, I won't do
just as good.
Chills, huh? Chills? Yeah, I got the chills. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show his beat.
K-Rock takes over Six Flags Magic Mountain tomorrow. We got tickets you can win all day long today, starting this hour on the Kevin and Bean Show. In fact, every 30 minutes from now until 9 o'clock tonight, we'll tell you when to call in. Lisa, you were watching the Emmys on Sunday night.
No.
What?
I was coming home from a trip, but
you missed.
It was great.
Oprah Winfrey on your TV screen pushing a young man we like to call Cousin Sal out of the way as she screamed these words.
Sal Aquino!
It was one of the strangest things I ever saw. Cousin Sal, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend. How are you?
Thank you. It was very weird for me, but, you know, they cut it off short. I beat the hell out of her ass.
Good for you.
I'll take that from anyone.
Cousin Sal, of course, writes for Grantland.com. You can follow him on Twitter at TheCousinSal and works with his cousin Jimmy Kimmel over there on the ABC Late Night Show. Are you actually, like, what's it like being in a room with Oprah? Is it comfortable like she's a regular person yet for you because you've met her a few times, or is it still kind of weird?
No, it's very weird. It's always weird. I mean, she's extremely nice. You know, like when Jimmy started the Man Show and everything, he wanted her to be this monster. You know, he created this caricature of her. And all we see is a nice version of her. I mean, obviously, she has like 25 people around her that laugh at everything she says and, you know, grab her a water every 8 seconds. But she's really nice, and I'll never get used to being in the same room with her.
Is she going to have to come in and settle this feud between Jimmy and Kanye? How's that going to end?
You know, it's funny because everyone thinks this is a big joke with Jimmy and them going back and forth, but when Kanye wants to send a message, he's going to take the cousin out, right? He's not going to come after Jimmy. I'm going to be found dead in my car, shot up in a Wiener Schnitzel parking lot. And then we'll see who's laughing.
That is how they do it, by the way. You take one of mine, I take one of yours. I mean, that's how the rap game goes. So
yeah, no one cares about me. Forget it.
All right. Cousin Sal joins us on Fridays to talk football, preview of the NFL weekend. Not the best week you ever had last week. 0-2-1, Sal. How are you feeling about this week's games?
Probably much of the same. But no, I'm going to bounce back. I have a good feeling about this slate. And it starts with the Browns and Bengals. Now, I don't know if you've seen this Browns team. There's something else. They lose their first couple games by like a slim margin, and they seemingly give up on the season. They trade their best player, Trent Richardson, to the Colts.
for a 2014 draft pick like last week. And then they go on the road and beat up on the Vikings after changing quarterbacks. I actually think they're going to give a lot of teams fits this year, including the Bengals, who always get off to a slow start. The Browns, they play defense all game long, and they don't let quarterbacks embarrass them, especially the redheaded variety. And so I'm taking the Browns to win the game, 20-17, take the 4.5 points. They win on the field.
I know that Browns fans have, well, they've always been disappointed. There's never been a season that they've been happy with or it's ended and they felt good about it. But it had to have been a special kind of a hit to the gut 2 weeks in to feel like your team is giving up on the season. Can you imagine what that would have been like for them?
It's pretty bad. And, you know, they have had 19 quarterbacks. Like, not everyone can get lucky like the Colts with Andrew Luck, no pun intended. But they've had 19 quarterbacks since 1999. That's an astounding number. And I think they just said, you know what, we're going to make sure we get the best one in next year's draft. I don't care if we have 6 number one picks next year. We're going to get it done.
All right, moving on. You got my Seattle Seahawks playing in Houston against the Texans. Now, this is a game that gets us a little bit nervous because the Texans have J.J. Watt, of course, who is the defensive player of the year. We are down a couple of tackles. I don't think this is going to be an easy one for us. What say you?
No, you know what, and I don't want to jinx your team, Bean, but I'm taking them. And as long as the line is weak, and it is weak, 3 points, the Seahawks are the best team in the NFC. I think that they and the Broncos are head and shoulders above the rest at this stage, and maybe that changes. But for now, if you get the Seahawks giving a field goal, you jump on that. They go into Houston. They get Chris Clemens back. Houston's banged up on offense. Andre Johnson may sit. I think Seattle's a young, fierce defense, the number one in the league. They go up like 9 points a game. Take them, giving a 3. They win 24-16.
Are you surprised? What are we at? Week 4 already. There are still 7 undefeated teams in the NFL. You don't see that very often, do you, Sal?
No. I mean, it's they talk about parity, but we have a lot of winless teams, too. We're sending 2 to London this week, and who would have thought the Vikings and Steelers would be winless? And you're right. On the other side, there's a lot of undefeated teams. But I think the best will emerge in weeks 4 to 6. You'll see.
All right, and this one I know Dave King of Mexico is on the edge of his seat. He's a longtime Atlanta Falcons fan. They have had an up-and-down season so far. Now they've got a tough, tough battle against New England. What do you think?
Yeah, now I'm going to jinx his team, too. I know what I'm doing. I picked against the Patriots last week, and you saw how that turned out, right?
Right.
Lost. Yeah, I'm doing it again. The Pats haven't played a good team yet. They're not a real 3-0 team. They match up against a desperate Atlanta squad. And the Falcons is an interesting stat. They haven't lost back-to-back games since late 2009. That's a pretty incredible stat. Coach Mike Smith's no Bill Belichick, but I think he gets it done in a loud dome on Sunday night. 30-21 to the Falcons.
All right, Browns +4.5 over the Bengals. That's a controversial pick. You've got the Seahawks -3 over the Texans, Falcons -2.5 over the Patriots. 0-2-1 last week, so that's your caveat. But if you feel like Sal's going to turn it around, put some money down on that. And you can read way more about this weekend's NFL season at Grantland.com. Follow Sal on Twitter at TheCousinSal and look for him to die in some sort of gunfire with the Kanye West crew very, very soon. Thanks,
yeah,
Sal. Appreciate the time.
Kanye lets me live to see the week 4 games. That'd be terrific.
Exactly. Have a good weekend, my friend.
Thanks.
Yeah. Part A. You know what comes after Part B? Or before Part B? Part A.
Exactly. Ralph Garman joins us now in studio for our final look at the showbiz beat. Look at Lisa, man. She's already edging toward the door.
I have my stuff packed
foot,
in the...
Yeah. 1 foot in the hall already. She's just waiting for this microphone light to go off.
I think to send Lisa off, we should play Jump Around.
Oh, yeah. Don't do that.
Just to get her psyched, just get her ready for her big vacation
good idea.
Next week.
It's a good idea. Lisa, we're going to miss you next week. We're already sad that you're going to be on.
Oh, thank you. I'll miss you too.
Yeah.
Not.
What?
But you don't.
I'll be too busy as a means... son and fun with drinks in my hand.
Yeah, it won't be the only thing you have in your hand.
Yeah, I hope not.
Before I get to the last showbiz beat of the week, I do have my last tickets to give away to a little feature film I like to call Machete Kills.
Machete.
Yay!
You know, if there's anything I know about Machete, there's 3 things you know about Machete.
He knows the score.
1.
He gets the women.
2.
And he kills the bad guys.
Kills the bad guys. It's the sequel to Machete. Machete Kills. I've got passes not just to see the movie. Sometimes we do those K-Rock screenings where you get to see the movie in advance. No, this is the red carpet premiere of Machete Kills.
Oh, sweet.
Happening October 2nd at the LA Live. The whole cast will be there. Danny Trejo, Alexa Vega, Sofia Vergara, Lady Gaga, Vanessa Hudgens, Jessica Alba, Mel Gibson. The U.S. government recruits Machete to battle his way through Mexico in order to take down an arms dealer who looks to launch a weapon into space. That's right.
Machete.
No. Oh, like beer mug saying it. You want to go to this? Of course you do. Let's call right now. 1-800-520-1067. Five winners will get a pair of passes to attend the red carpet world premiere of Machete Kills.
I can't tell you how many times I'm in on this movie. First of all, just the fact that it's another Machete movie I'm in. But then when I saw Sofia Vergara with the bullet bra, I was in. Then when I saw Charlie Sheen as the president of the United States.
Introducing Carlos Estevez.
I'm sorry. Yes, Carlos Estevez as the president. I'm so in on every level.
Me too. The first one was so much fun.
It was so great.
Remember Machete guts that guy and then pulls out his intestines and uses them to climb out of a window.
Yes,
that's happened.
Right. And Danny Trejo is awesome.
That happened.
Can't wait.
Yeah, me too. Looking forward to this. So call now and do that and do that thing and do it. Bruce Springsteen fans, I know Bean is one of them. I am also one of them. Brand new documentary called Springsteen and I coming out in October. Did you see it, Bean? Did you see it in theaters?
I have not.
It's being released on DVD and Blu-ray on October the 29th. It celebrates all things Bruce. It's all about the psychopathic, in some ways, fan base that the boss has. It's about fan memories. Has a ton of previously unseen live performance material. Film has already been shown in 50 countries and grossed more than $2.5 million. Pretty good for a documentary, but that's the Springsteen fans for you. So just want to give you a heads up. They have a release date for that. October the 29th.
Great.
Will be the release date. This Sunday in the UK, London's Wembley Stadium. Football in the UK. They do this every year. I guess they're doing two games this year, if I'm not mistaken, in London. They're trying to make an international brand for the NFL. The Vikings and the Pittsburgh Steelers will be playing.
Well, and we're certainly sending them our best.
They really are. Two powerhouses. The national anthem will be sung. The American national anthem.
USA! USA! USA!
And who better to bridge our two cultures to finally create some sort of partnership between the UK and America? To bridge those troubled waters. Gene Simmons. Gene Simmons of KISS will be singing the national anthem.
Look, I don't want the Steelers to represent the NFL, and I don't want Gene Simmons to represent the American people.
I know. How many British ladies is he going to try to bone while he's over there?
Oh, boy.
He's going to leave little Simmons babies everywhere. I can't believe they picked him to sing the national anthem.
I can't either.
That's a hard song to sing for the best of singers.
I'll be curious what it sounds like.
This guy's really, his musical talent is standing in tall boots.
Yeah.
That's his best at musically. Yes. The tongue and the blood and the fire is what he does.
I mean, even for dumb rock, he does not have a particularly good voice.
No. Paul Stanley's got a better voice than he does.
Right, right, right.
And he's not a good singer. Well, love is in the air. This is a crazy story. Kelly Cuoco of The Big Bang Theory, she was dating... just 2 months ago, was dating Man of Steel star Henry Cavill. They were a lovely couple. They broke up. Now she's getting married to a brand new dude. The guy she met 3 months ago, his name is Ryan Sweeting. He is a handsome, rich, 6'5" professional tennis player. Her reps have confirmed the story to Us Weekly magazine, saying it's only been 3 months, but she knows Ryan is the one. All right, take your bets, ladies and gentlemen.
You know, you do see stories, not just in Hollywood, but people you know who date for 5 or 6 years, break up, and then the person runs out and gets married, a year later. I mean, sometimes it just happens fast.
I know. You know, looking like $1 million isn't always easy and painless.
You don't have to tell me.
You know the lingerie model Vida Guerra? Guerra? Yes, it is. She best known for her photo spreads in FHM magazines and other men's magazines like that. She had to undergo the knife for emergency breast implant surgery.
What?
Yeah. Apparently she has. She popped one.
Giant size cans.
Oh.
She also had a C-cup breast that had scar tissue forming all around. It was she had trouble breathing.
Nice melons.
Oh, my gosh. So she had to go into the knife and get the new model.
Oh, boy.
Get the 2014s. They're already
boobies!
They're already in the showroom, so she had to pick up a new one. Vida says she regrets the plastic surgery and she wouldn't do it all over again if she had to increase her breasts. To which I go, ha, right. That's all you got, sweetheart.
Boobs.
Melissa Joan Hart, Sabrina the Teenage Witch. Clarissa explains it all.
Mm-hmm.
Down-to-earth ladies, wife, mother. Wasn't always the case. She's got a new book coming out, autobiography, called Melissa Explains It All. It'll be out on October the 29th. And in it, she says, during the peak of Sabrina the Teenage Witch, she was anything but the wholesome girl she portrayed on television, experimenting with weed, ecstasy, mushrooms, and mescaline for a year and a half. She had a few wild nights, one of which was a party that kicked off at the Playboy Mansion, where she met up with a girl, started making out with her, ended up in a limo with her, and found herself on the set of this girl's Maxim photo shoot the next morning.
Wow, that was quite a night.
A little foggier, not quite knowing what's going on. But
that's awesome.
I never had nothing like that at the Playboy Mansion.
Not a girl.
I don't know, but true. Look, I don't know a lot about how books work in 2013.
Okay, well, they print them on paper, and they usually have a front cover and a back cover, and then you turn the page.
But I'm told that books don't sell. A, reading is for losers, but B, books just don't sell like they used to. Somebody paid Melissa Joan Hart to write a book?
Listen, you're right. Books are a hard sell these days, and publishers are desperate for anything that smacks of a built-in audience. If you have any sort of celebrity.
Is there an audience? Do you think there are people out there who are looking forward to buying a Sabrina the Teenage Witch book?
A publisher would rather take a chance on Melissa Joan Hart, who has a fan base, regardless of whatever size that is, rather than an unknown author, an unknown title, and having to try to promote that from Jump Street. You know, you go from zero. You're starting from zero with an unknown author or book, where you have to try to get the word out there. This, at least somebody someplace, wants to read about Sabrina the Teenage Witch banging a model in the back of a limo.
Okay.
See? I like that guy. That guy right over there. Halloween is almost upon us. Haven't heard Halloween spooks once yet, by the way.
Well, we do wait until October.
You know, you're the guy who celebrates half-freaking Christmas.
Yes.
But you wait till October to give us Halloween spooks.
That's a good point.
Thank you, Lisa.
I get too much abuse if I pull the trigger too early on a Halloween spooks.
You get tons of abuse for half Christmas and three-quarter Christmas, too. That doesn't stop you.
What about 11-12th Halloween?
Yeah, right.
Where's that?
It's 11-12th Halloween.
See, Lisa, I'm glad you actually stuck around for this last break just for that. Look. People, not everybody loves Halloween spooks the way you and I do, Ralph.
Well, they're
wrong.
There
are people who dread this time of year because they hear that little song on the show and they don't want to hear it in September.
Well, I want to hear it all year long.
I know you do. Well, why are you bringing up Halloween now?
Because they're talking about costumes. Everyone has to start thinking about their costumes. So far, my little daughter, Olivia, my little three-year-old, has changed her mind. Let me think about what she wants to be for Halloween. I think it's 71 times now. We have just boxes and boxes of Halloween costumes that will go unused this year because she keeps changing her mind. So everyone has to think now what they're going to be for Halloween.
She's going to be Fair Abraham, though, right? That's what she settled on.
She has not settled on that.
With the make your mold kit?
Yeah, no. No. Luckily for me, she's not there yet. Maybe she's four. Maybe next year she'll go with that. This year, I think she's going to be a princess. I'm not sure.
Okay, nice.
She wants me to be a king, by the way. In tights.
All right.
Wearing a crown. Just there tights and a crown.
There was a King Ralph movie, so
that's
why not?
That's right. I can go as John Goodman, which I look more like than an actual king. Everyone's looking for their next Halloween costume. Looks like we know what the big one's going to be this year. According to Amazon.com and several brick-and-mortar Halloween costume outlets, the hottest costume going right now, a couple weeks ago, it was the Duck Dynasty family. But now, since the MTV Video Music Awards, it's Miley Cyrus and Robin Thicke.
That's a good couple's costume.
If you want to be a couple and you want to go with something and you have a whore as a girlfriend or wife, then you can go as Robin Thicke and Miley Cyrus. This is what you can get. Amazon.com is already offering a Robin Thicke costume. Basically, and they admit to this, it's a repackaged Beetlejuice suit because that's what he looked like, basically. And the Miley costume comes with the now famous foam finger that she used to defile herself with on television. Also, several versions of her teddy bear T-shirts and the Boost J and the nudie suit and the whole nine yards. So you can go to HalloweenCostumes.com. They provide you a way you can replicate her costume.
I like taking out my tongue a lot and stuff like that. Yeah. And like dancing with teddy bears and stuff like that. Yeah. And it's pretty cool.
Yeah. You'd have to get one of those just giant tongues, the ones you just bite onto, it just hangs out of your mouth. And, of course, you need a giant set of llama teeth as well. That's the hot costume. And if you're a Homeland fan, you're excited that Homeland is returning to Showtime this weekend. Miss any of season 2? Well, Showtime for you. is helping you out. A marathon of season 2 episodes, back-to-back episodes, beginning noon Saturday and Sunday, ahead of the season premiere Sunday night, so you can check it out. Just wanted to give you a heads up. Anybody see the finale of Ray Donovan, speaking of Showtime? Boy, what a great episode. Are you not watching the
Ray Donovan?
I am. I'm
just behind.
Oh, man. John Voight. Look at him for the Emmys next year.
He's great.
Something brilliant on that show. Today's celebrity birthdays. Our very own associate producer, Christine, celebrates her birthday today. There were cupcakes for a minute until Beer Mug got into the room, and there was balloons, and it was very festive in the office today. Avril Lavigne's 29 years old today. Lil Wayne is 31. Carrie Brownstein from Portlandia turns 39. Gwyneth Paltrow is 41. Being a lot of static about Gwyneth Paltrow getting a bell, by the way.
Look, I know that she's annoying. I get why people don't like her. It's hard to deny she's pretty.
Yeah, I guess. She is in the Iron Man movies, that's for sure. With all that CGI they slap on her. if they can make Robert Downey Jr. fly, they can make Gwyneth Paltrow hot. Patrick Muldoon's 45. Stephen Jenkins of Third Eye Blind is 49 years old today. And the reason we celebrate today, other than Christine's birthday, of course, is the Loaf's birthday. Meet Loaf. Oh, it's
what can you see?
I can see paradise by the dashboard light.
Nice. If I had a quarter for every time I made out to that song.
I miss the party machine, the Kevin and Bean party machine so much, mostly because I used to love playing Paradise by the Dashboard Light because of how miserable it made Kevin.
And also bought you 8 minutes. So you could go out and get some grape nuts and go to the bathroom and didn't have to be on the air for very long.
The best.
The Loaf is 66 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you so much, Ralph. Don't forget, we'll be back on Monday morning with an all-new show. Actress Kat Dennings on the program and actor Jack Black, plus Andrew Siciliano. It's all happening. See you Monday.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
You pooped in your pants.
I pooped my pants.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Respect these boobies.
Roll another one.
That looks really hard to me.
Just like the other one.
Yeah!
This one seems to be about to win.
God's watching you.
And I need another hit.
So why can't I bogart that joint? You're asking me to roll another one just like the other one. That means there's about to be two joints in play. Come on, people, it's logistics.
Roll another one.
That's science.
Just like the other one.
Very, very clever.
This one seems to be about to end.
Where's the outrage then?
I don't have another sense.
Don't be the 1%, man. Be the 99. Peace.
Let's pass it around.
My name is Spud Bun Nutsack.
I'm sorry, sir. I have no idea what you're saying.
Let's pass it on down.
Get out of my house now. I want you out of here. Get out of here. I'm not kidding. Get out of here. You go to hell. Come back here. Come on. Don't go.
Hey! Was that the last bell?
Yep. Locking it down. No more visitors, no more calls.
Right. That's the end. Stop the program. Stop it.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.